challenges, trials, whatever you call them, every single one of us has had to overcome something in our lives. Be that a physical disadvantage, a financial setback, a business complication, an emotional hurdle, or spiritual snag. Join Heather and her inspiring co-authors as she delves into the topic of overcoming the odds to create successful businesses, relationships, and lives. Now, here is your host, Heather Andrews.
Thank you for joining our show. Today, we are talking with Chris Coper, and we're talking about it's never too late to find your passion and how it can really change your life. Chris, welcome to our show today.
Hi there, Heather.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how you came to really hone in on finding that passion and where it started for you.
I had become a stay-at-home mom in my 40s, pretty late age. And I felt it was probably my greatest accomplishment, but I felt a little bit empty still. So to fill my tank, I signed up for the Master Gardener course at the Calgary Zoo. And sometime after that, when I realized I really loved gardening, I took landscape design 1 and 2.
And how did that really sort of show you a different space? Because so often we think, you know, when we're staying at home with our little ones, that this is sort of that's where our focus should be. And how did you shift from, you know, not feeling guilty about that to finding a passion within landscape design?
I really, really enjoyed being a stay-at-home mom. I love spending time with my daughter, and the classes that I took were on the weekends through the winter. So I didn't really feel like it interrupted. I felt like I was being so fulfilled in both areas. And as I progressed with the garden classes, I realized I was very passionate about it. And my daughter was taking skating lessons, and the skating coach became the manager at our community center. And when she found out, she asked if I would design a community garden for them.
Beautiful. And you have become in that space of that. You have literally become a master gardener.
I have.
And what does, so, and we always think in master gardening, like it's, you know, we go out to our garden and we have all this beautiful, like growing food, right? But it's more than that. Like there's an internal fulfillment, would you say?
There's an internal fulfillment and a huge learning curve. You have to learn about trees and shrubs and be able to identify them in the winter when there's no leaves. And you have to learn how to use not just annuals and perennials, but also trees and shrubs to make a landscape one whole beautiful area.
And recently you were a part of like a gardening sort of in a school and for the community. Can you give us an overview of what that looked like?
When the principal at Senator Patrick Burns School in Calgary found out that I took landscape design, she asked if I could help them with a project that the kids were doing. The kids were in the Spanish program, so they wrote letters to the principal in Spanish as to how they would like their decrepit courtyard to look. So I had my daughter take those letters and transcript them for me. And then I gave a class on garden design. Then the kids formed groups and they did projects of how they would like their courtyard to look. Then the teachers took those projects, the top two of each class, and they had to present to our panel. And I didn't feel like I could pick just one and leave all the other kids out. So I took all the best ideas, came up with several concepts. And once one was accepted, we fundraised and raised over $100,000. And then we had that courtyard built. And then it showed up in Co-op Community Spaces 2015 Senator Patrick Burns School Courtyard Projects on a Co-op Community Spaces commercial and also on YouTube.
Wow, that's awesome. And when the and I know that you and I have talked a little bit about the landscape design and what it means and how you want and how you're, you know, leveraging that in a business for yourself today. And I remember one thing that you said to me was, it's amazing at how many children don't understand the understand gardening, especially in the city, because we don't plant gardens because our yards aren't big enough. So can you just give an overview of sort of like the children's reaction to when they actually planted a seed and saw it grow, and give an overview of like an understanding of what their reactions were?
I designed and built a community garden at our community center, and we became a hub for speaking. There's also a preschool at the community center, so I went to give classes for those kids. And the first thing we did is we held up vegetables and we showed the kids, what is this? What is this? And I held up a cauliflower and nobody knew what it was. I was quite shocked. And finally, one piped up and said, popcorn. And we all laughed. And we decided to plant seeds and to explain what was all needed for seeds to grow. And then they got to watch their seeds grow. Amazingly, the kids did not like to get their hands dirty. They're always told to keep them super clean. And I had to explain that you can always wash your hands. So then when things did grow, the kids were just shockingly amazed, and they would, as their parents would pick them up from school, they would run outside where we had planted those seedlings and show their parents so proudly what they had done.
Beautiful. So it gave them a sense of accomplishment and a sense of self-esteem.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And when we think about, and you have mentioned that, you know, you were a stay-at-home mom and you really enjoyed that space, but you were also a part-time hairdresser.
My hairdressing is my bread and butter. I work out of my house and I always enjoyed doing hairdressing. But as I started to garden, I realized that I just love gardening. I can hairdresser, I can do hair all day long, and I'll be very tired, maybe not quite as fulfilled. And I can garden all day long, be exhausted, and just be thrilled.
Like the hairdressing is a part of the creation piece and helping someone feel good, because there's nothing like a good haircut, right? And then also, then you're there to support that person, because we've talked a lot about this. And when you move over into the landscape design, there's still that creativity, but it's almost like it's more of a Zen piece and more of a almost like a meditation in some ways. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. And I get satisfaction out of both. I find that having a little diversity in your life makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. I like doing both.
And so, Chris, when you've moved through like having, you know, being stay-at-home mom to hairdresser, and then finding the passion for yourself in amongst that landscape design, I also know, because we have talked a lot, is about the, you know, you have a daughter who's a competitive ski racer. And so how did you, and that's got to be a fairly demanding role as a parent to be a part of that world.
So for the first maybe 11 years of my daughter's life, I went to the ski hill every weekend with her, enjoyed it very much. My husband is her coach. So he was able to eventually take her to the mountains, and I was able to stay home and only ski occasionally. And I was able to pursue my landscape design and still work doing hairdressing as well. I think it was important when you have a child who has to work really hard to be a really good athlete, to get excellent grades. She also has to have an excellent role model whose cup is very full, so I'm able to give. And it was very good for her to see that I'm very successful and I love continued learning.
Yeah, I love it. And so you and your husband kind of split the role kind of thing for her competitive ski racing.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And you modeled the way for her, and she understood that, you know, it was, she had to fill her own cup as well to be the best she could be. And you emulated that for her by doing something that you loved to do to be full for her.
And I found my passion, and she found her passion, luckily, very early in life.
Right.
Took me a while.
Well, I think it takes us all a little bit of time.
Yeah. There's a lucky few that find their passion early in life.
Yeah. And they know that there's more. So tell us a little bit about you. So you've expanded in as you have embarked upon, you know, your new role in your landscape design and business and where you're going with that. But recently you have also been a co-author in a book. Tell us a little bit about that.
A friend of mine has a husband who knows somebody, and she got some tickets to this motivational class. And her and I hadn't done anything in a while, and we decided to go to this class. This is where I met you, Heather. Heather Andrews of Follow It Through Publishing. And I was very inspired by the power of story that I find when I'm learning things, that if it's told in story form, I remember everything. And so we connected, and I was convinced to maybe, I've always wanted to write, but doing a compilation was a little bit safer and shorter start to the whole thing. So I did an article about finding your passion late in life. In a book called Obstacles Equals Opportunities 2 and The Enlightened Journey. And it's really all, my article is all about moving to Canada, the obstacles I had to overcome, becoming a mother, and then realizing I needed more and taking classes and moving into something I'm very passionate about, landscape and garden design.
Right. And so one of the things that I know that we've talked a little bit about in terms of the book, I know that your chapter is really, it's a huge piece. And, you know, and we often think that coming from a country, from one country into the other, isn't a big deal, especially from like Canada to States and vice versa, because they're very similar. But I know my own husband is an American. And when he came to Canada, he was like, oh, how hard can it be? But it's really a test of patience because you had to get your visa, you had to adapt. And for him, I know that there was cultural differences. So I'm just curious from your perspective, what kind of things did you have to overcome in that process?
I didn't think I realized there were a lot of obstacles you had to overcome. For instance, you had to prove that you really were going to get married. You weren't fooling the government. You had to go for physical exams. It took a lot of time. And the only reason it worked for me is because I was tenacious and I followed it through. And I was successful. But you're right. There are subtle differences between Canadian and Americans. And a couple of them are, you know, being American, if I'm standing in a line and somebody skips in front of me, I'd be more apt to ask them to go to the back of the line. Whereas I found Canadians sometimes stewing about it and wishing that person would go to the back of the line.
Yeah. Well, we're the polite ones, didn't you know?
I do now. I did some backpacking in Europe, and I didn't get served one time, and I didn't really understand why, because I had money, I was clean and neat, and I was very respectful. And it wasn't until I lived in Canada for a while that I realized that some Europeans do not like Americans. So I've learned a lot of things.
And did you come and so what was one of the biggest obstacles that you, like, aside from cultural and things like that, but did you, like, in terms of, like, changing jobs and job visas and things like that? Because I know with my husband, we got married here, and it was like a year before he could work, go to school, any of it, but he was able to be with us. But I think that there's some financial stuff that goes on as you're waiting for these, you know, the visas to be approved so that you can work and you can start to live your life. Like, it's almost like your life's in a holding pattern a little bit.
My fiance, we had 90 days to be married. I had a job lined up, so I was allowed to work. I was faced with being deported, which I thought was a very odd thing to feel, considering I live in North America. And I felt like Canada and the U.S. were so the same, but they weren't. And so in order to be able to stay here, I had to prove that I wasn't taking a Canadian citizen's job. And lucky for me, in hairdressing, there's so many jobs available because everybody wants their own salon. So I brought newspaper after newspaper in, and I showed my immigration officer, and he looked at me and he said, well, and I also got letters from my clients really fast. I built a clientele really fast because I'm very outgoing and good at what I do. And he said, well, what makes you so good that they want you to stay here? And I just looked at him and I said, well, I guess you're just going to have to come in and find out. Funny enough, years later, his hairdresser moved away and he came and got his hair cut with me. And it was so out of context, I didn't even know it was him. I cut his hair 3-4 times before I realized who he was.
I love that story. From border control to haircut. That's funny. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And so what was one of the biggest things, like, as you've moved through the process of sharing your story and, like, finding the passion and things like that, what has really, has it set you free in some way? Have you felt more empowered? Because I've heard, and I just know this because of owning my company, Follow Through Publishing, and there's this trend, like, it's almost like there's this, like, transformation that happens when you share your story.
I felt very empowered. My self-esteem has roared. I did have people say, what are you doing that for? But then when I paid them no mind and went ahead and did it anyway, I find that they're very happy for me and backing me up, which makes me feel very happy as well. So I, with every accomplishment between building a community garden and running it and meeting many people and the big learning curve to, designing the school to writing a book, I find that every accomplishment is boosting my self-esteem more and more. And I feel so positive. One thing I have done is I have weeded out the people that are more negative in my life and surrounded myself with more positive people. And I just feel like life is growing in leaps and bounds in a positive mm-hmm. way.
And one of the first conversations that I remember that we had that kind of got you into the writing journey was around the power of the word. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah, I think I was giving a talk and we had scheduled a call, and I remember leaving the event and having that call with you. And I remember you saying, like, sometimes people don't understand the power of what they say, good or bad.
Well, this is true. Some people blurt out things and you look at them and you wonder, I can't believe they just said that. And sometimes it can be extremely hurtful and they have no idea. Or sometimes the couple simple words can uplift you so high for a day.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, and sometimes it's even like the simple comments, like, I can't remember the exact one. But when and it can be even the people closest to you that think, oh yeah, joke, ha ha, but they don't realize how cutting it is. And And I think that's what we were, and I think that's what your book was about, correct? We were crafting, was about the power of the word. And then, yeah. So can you just give a little bit of an overview?
I can give an example.
Absolutely. Because I would love to, because we're in the power of story, right? And the power of the word. Yeah.
In being a hairdresser, I have clients I've done for up to 30 years. And I had a client come to me one day, and I've been doing her hair for years. And she told me that her daughter was going to high school and that she was going to learn hairdressing just so that she would have a summer job, still going to go to university. But she wanted me to tell her daughter that it was a no-mind job and that it just doesn't go anywhere. And I'm doing her hair thinking, I can't believe she just said that. So it was really insulting. And she didn't even realize it.
Well, I remember I used to do mammography. And, you know, and I mean, I was very passionate about that because I remember having sitting beside women who were diagnosed in that space. And it was one of the most life-changing moments in their life because in 1 minute, their life completely changed. And, you know, and I remember, you know, and I get asked several times, is this all you do all day? And, you know, and it was so often that it was like, whether you meant that as a joke or whether you were actually grateful for the service that we provided, but it's one of those things that I was very passionate about what I did because
you may have just saved their life.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and so I never took it personally, but I think there are times when, you know, and I think that's what, and as a healthcare professional, you give your all. And I mean, most of the world does give their all in what they do. And it was almost like, okay, you just kind of cut and sliced and diced me without even knowing it, because this is my profession and I'm here in service. And so it was just interesting to me to see the power of the word. And when you and I got to talking about that, because we are, you know, writers and storytellers and things like that, and we're, you know, helping people move that space of, you know, their own story, you know, the power of the word is really a very powerful thing. And it stays with you, regardless how you look at it.
I remember things and comments from when I was a kid, even. So I think it's really important that people be non-judgmental and be loving to others and maybe try to step into their shoes before they make a judgment about somebody.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's interesting because you can never judge a book by its cover, like literally. And that is the one thing that our world is full of is judgment. And a lot of that judgment comes from, you know, other people being unhappy in their own space. So they have to feel that they have to like cast their own opinion on others. And it's really quite funny when people go in to tell their story and telling their story is really kind of like a roadmap to finding your passion, right? And when people actually tell their story, one of the biggest keys is they always go, I'm going to get judged by someone. And, you know, and even with my own kids, they say, oh yeah, you know, someone's going to say something about something. And I'm like, absolutely they are. But I said, but who are they to judge you is my question.
Well, I do feel a little bit nervous with my story coming out. There might be some people that might laugh or judge me, but then I'm going to be an author and they're not. So.
Well, I remember when I first started my company, when I was on that mission of being restructured out of healthcare and moving over into being an entrepreneur and finding my path in my own business. And it looked like I was going multiple different ways because I was writing, I was coaching, and then I was doing, and then I started the podcast. So it looked like I was doing all these different things, but then now we've come full circle and we're sitting in a place of, you know, helping people step into the greatness in their own life through the power of story, through, you know, getting their businesses online and things like that. And now it's very succinct. And
well, I think it all ties into one another And I remember I got some judgment from my in-laws about all the many, many hours of volunteering myself in designing, bringing the community together, and building a community garden. And I did it because I felt I needed it. I needed to fill my tank. I needed to feel better about myself. And I did it. And now I feel great accomplishment. I have learned so many things, and I have made that garden one of the tops in Calgary. And I now have other gardens coming to me for advice. So things always come around full circle, and it really does raise your self-esteem. And people may not understand, but in our head, we are the ones that have the vision, and we can see it all tying together. They maybe cannot.
And I believe that when we come into that space of stepping into wanting to be of service to others, and it really does help you find your passion. And whether you actually, you know, move through and do your passion as a business, or you just do it via volunteering, or you do it just as a hobby, you have to, I never stopped long enough to actually be creative. And now I'm in that space of creativity and business growth. And it is absolutely one of the most fulfilling things I have ever done. And, you know, to see all of the lives that have been touched by stories like yours in books like, you know, What's Money Got to Do with It? Obstacles Equal Opportunity, which launches on May 15th on Amazon. It's got a huge impact. And it's actually almost like creating a mission and a movement. And so the more people that find their passion and their purpose and begin to emulate that, like you have, it has ripples effect.
What's interesting is that in doing the story for this book, I've met the other authors, and they all have their own stories. And it is just so interesting to get to know so many more people who they're very interesting, and they are also learning a lot, and they are finding their passions and following their dreams. And I love surrounding myself with these people.
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you for taking the time to do the podcast and just really talking about finding your passion from a, you know, just a very inward, simple perspective, because so often we think we have to go through these huge transformations to find our passion and our why. And really, it might be something as just enrolling in a course that's something of interest, because you never know what's going to emulate on the other side.
Yeah, it crept up on me.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that was my whole business. It crept up on me. So I totally get it. So yep. Yeah. So
planted,
I thank
the
you.
Seed and it grew.
Absolutely. Planting the seeds, and it grew into a business. And that's what's going to happen for you. And I know that. And I just can't wait to see, you know, how it blossoms and grows, literally.
Yes. Thank you, Heather.
It's going to be awesome. So thank you, Chris, for coming on today and just sharing, you know, those vulnerable moments and, you know, giving through the storytelling and things like that for our listeners. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. Once again, I'm Heather Andrews, helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and the resiliency for going out to find that better life. So till then, go out and live your stellar life.
Now that Heather and her guest have shared a little bit about how they have overcome some of life's obstacles and how they went on to create success in their life despite these obstacles, you can read more by getting your own copy of Obstacles Equal Opportunities Volume 1 or Volume 2 by going to the Follow It Through Publishing website at www.followitthroughpublishing.com. Spelled FOLLOWITTHROPUBLISHING.com. Have a story to share? If you are interested in becoming part of a book compilation, please contact Heather by going to www.followitthroughpublishing.com and clicking Contact. You will be amazed at what kind of story you can produce with the help from an incredible team. Thank you for listening. For more episodes, please visit the Tenacious Living Network at tlrstation.com.